St. John of Kronstadt, about soul-killing drunkenness, from My Life in Christ. How inexpressibly sad it is to see, on the Lord's festivals, the enemy collects his tax. And an exceedingly great one it is, from Christians. And the greater the festival, the heavier the tax that Christians pay the enemy. For what do we see on the festivals? Perfect idleness, unbridled passions, brawls, profligacy, thefts, amusement. My God, what gratification of the flesh! What zealous service to the devil! Are these people really Christians, redeemed by the precious blood of the Son of God? Are we living in Christian times and not in pagan ones? Are these men communicants of the life-giving sacrament? Are these the same people who frequent God's temple and pray to the Lord together with us? If they are, then for what purpose do they go to church? Evidently only from habit, and not from any attachment of a thankful heart to Christ the Savior. Evidently, they have not prayed to God. They have not drawn near to Him with their heart, but only with their lips, if they have done so at all, and thus have not entered into the spirit of the festival. In general, they do not understand the nature and the object of Christian festivals, and do not participate in them as children participate in the family festivals of their parents. How wicked are the children of that loving, good, and holy mother, the Church! The mother is holy. The children are sinful. The mother is spiritual. The children are carnal. The mother is heavenly. The children are earthly. The mother desires to give her children eternal spiritual blessings instead of corruptible and transitory ones. And the children reject them and choose for themselves earthly, sinful, passing pleasures. However, besides drunkards and men given over to various vices on festivals, we meet oftener still people who have not been to church and do not even know that it is a festival, because they have never thought about it. For such people, there is only one festival, the festival of the flesh. Ah, how long will it be before we priests rise up against all the disorders that take place on the Lord's festivals? Which of God's priests will have the zeal of Elias, Phinehas, Isaiah, or Jeremiah, in order to rise up in the power of the Holy Ghost against all these disorders on the Lord's festivals in the new Israel, in order to use all their powers, all their life for the glory of God, to uproot such laxity of morals amongst Christians? Lord, when shall we duly keep holy Thy festivals? When shall we comfort our Holy Mother, the Church, by obedience to her ordinances? When shall we be imbued with her spirit? How long shall we begin the celebration of the great saving events of the Orthodox faith with the spirit and end them with the flesh? How long shall the enemy mock at the members of Christ, which Christians are? How long shall men of other faiths and religions point at us and say, "Look, these are the Christians who call themselves Orthodox. Look how they live. What sort of faith can they have in their hearts? What knowledge of their religion can they have? What kind of priests must they have? How badly they must teach the people religion. How little can they explain to them the meaning of the festivals, their object, and the purpose for which they were instituted? How little can they teach them to live according to the faith? My God! What a reproach to our Orthodox faith and to us pastors. And yet, perhaps, is not what they say of us pastors just? It is a great deal our fault that Christians do not spend the festivals as they ought. We do not unmask them, do not forbid them, We do not implore them with all forbearance and instruction to spend the festivals and in general to live in a more Christian-like manner. We do not speak strongly enough against idleness, drunkenness, profligacy. We do not thunder in God's church, in God's words, against these vices, which have taken such a terrible hold of Christians. We do not always exclude from the Holy Cup, as an example to others, those persons who are known for their drunkenness and adultery, and we allow these contagious and abominable vices to spread further and further. Or at confession, we impose two light penances upon those who deserve the severe punishment of the church. And we do not watch, as we should, the fulfillment of even those penances which we lay upon them. Then, righteous God, neither the pastors nor the flock can justify themselves before thee. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. What will it come to at last with the existing disorder of our life? Iniquity spreads over the earth. The kingdom of the enemy grows wider. Thy kingdom diminishes. There are but few of thy chosen in whose hearts thou restest. Many are the slaves of the devil, in whose hearts the destroyer from time immemorial dwells like a thief. What wilt thou do unto us, Lord? The blood of thy testament cries out from the earth, but the voice of thy gospel does not penetrate into the hearts of Christians. Thy commandments are neglected. The church's ordinances are trampled underfoot. What wilt thou do unto us, O Lord? Lord, send zealous workers into thy vineyard, who seek not their own, but who seek thee, Christ. Give them the zeal of the prophets, the power and wisdom of the apostles, so that they may day and night unwearyingly labor in the fields of the hearts of men.